All right. So we all have things maybe we want to be known for, or we might already be known for, things we like or don't like. This also happens with, think about actors or musicians, right? You hear an actor's name and you might think of a specific movie, or a musician and you think of a song, an athlete in a certain team, that kind of stuff. You hear a name and they're known for something. And Bible characters are very similar to this as well. You know, for a lot of people, if you say Noah, they think of the ark. I tried this with my kids, and I said Daniel, who we're going to talk about today, and naturally they went to the lion, right? Daniel and the lion's den. This is a very popular story. Many people are familiar with it, and that's where we go with Daniel. He either tamed the lions or he made it through the lion's den, and that's totally true. That's something to know him by. But Daniel was known for so much more than that in my mind. He's more than just a lion tamer. And that's kind of the little title of our two-week miniseries. Just 2 weeks with Daniel, then we're going to jump into Jonah for a few weeks. But in these next 2 weeks, I want to look that Daniel was more than just the lion tamer. He was more than just the guy that made it through the lion's den. So that's what we're going to do. So to get ourselves started, we're going to look at the backstory of how this book of Daniel, how we even get to where we're going. So we're going to look at Daniel chapter 1. We'll be in the whole chapter today. It is marked on the Bibles in your table there. It also will be, as always, right up here behind me. We are going to start with Daniel 1, verses 1 through 7, to get a little bit of the backstory on Daniel. So let me read that to you. Daniel 1, verses 1 through 7, it says this. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief gave them new names: to Daniel, Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. We will stop there. All right, so what's the backstory? What is going on? We have the king of Babylon, and he wants to besiege Jerusalem. Basically, he wants to control it without a full-blown takeover. So he goes in, and he just basically takes stuff from it. He takes the king, and then he also takes some of the items from the temple, brings them home, and then he actually takes some people. But this isn't like totally true prisoner of war taking people. He wants to use the guys he takes. He takes the good-looking, intelligent, trained-up, best of the best of the best men, right? Think of that as if, you know, Ryan, who's in Verona, wants to besiege Sun Prairie. He's going to go over and take Chris and bring him to Verona to train him up. I just caught Lindsay's face, and it was the best thing ever. Chris, I'm glad you didn't see your wife's face on that. But that's kind of the idea, right? He's going to go and he's going to take some men because he wants to weaken Jerusalem, but then he wants to bring these guys up to work for him. So he sees this kind of a win-win. He's going to have them trained up in the Babylonian culture for 3 years to make sure they are immersed in it. The language in Babylonia is called Akkadian. This was a difficult language, primarily in terms of writing it. Lots and lots of symbols and things like that. So we'll take some time. Then they're also going to be given food from the king's table. This is a huge honor because you're not just getting any old food. This is directly like, this is the king's good stuff, all right? So this is a big deal that's going to happen. And now we meet four men. All right, we meet our four guys, and their names are changed. And we're not totally sure why. Probably it kind of strips them a little bit of that Jerusalem heritage, and also the new names may be reference to some sort of Babylonian gods. But here's the idea of going on. They're taken from Jerusalem to Babylon to be fully immersed in the culture and the ways of Babylonia in order to serve that king. But these are godly men. They believe in the God, same God we do. So what do they do? What do they have to do? They do is they depend on God. Daniel is a man of dependence, and that's kind of our focus today. More than a lion tamer, Daniel is a man of dependence. Now, dependence is tricky because we're often taught to be independent people. right? We're supposed to do things on our own and take care of our own lives. We, as parents, we teach our young kids to be independent. Put your shoes on by yourself. Go get your own water bottle, all this kind of stuff. And to a large degree, that's a good thing. But as Christians, we do have to remember that we aren't completely independent. We are dependent on God, and He wants us to be dependent as His children. Think of it. God would want us to live in His basement till we're 35 and live from home. He wants to claim us on His taxes as dependents. He wants to help us tie our shoes. God wants us to be dependent on Him. So I want you to think about it this way. Instead of independence, focus your dependence in God. Instead of independence, focus your dependence in God. And today that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at a few ways Daniel was dependent on God and then kind of what happens. All right, so let's jump into that. We're going to look at Daniel 1, verses 8 through 14. So picking up where we left off, let's see what happens here with Daniel. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than these other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed and tested him for 10 days. We'll stop there. All right. Daniel depends on God for wisdom. That's what I think this section is, because Daniel has to make decisions. What should he do? What should he not do? And God gives him wisdom in this process, because what he does is he actually seems to be okay with taking on the new name he's given. He seems like he's going to go ahead and take in the learning and the education of the new culture. But where he draws the line is at the food. He's not going to defile himself with the food. And there's a number of theories and thoughts as to why this is where Daniel drew the hard line. But what I tend to agree with is that what he's showing here is, I don't need to rely on the king. I don't need to depend on the king for my food, my health, and to be brought up. I can depend on God in that way. Because if he takes all the food, he's creating this reliance and devotion on the king, but he wants to keep that on God. So I think that's why the food maybe is where we draw the line. But the problem is, if Daniel refuses the food, and he looks frail or weaker or not as big and strong as these other guys, the king's going to know something's up. So Daniel has to figure out, what am I going to do? Well, God gives him wisdom again. He goes to the guard and proposes a test. He says, give it 10 days, trial run, right? This is your free 10-day trial of whatever plan you're getting on. He says, give it 10 days, and then let's see. Daniel is confident in the wisdom he's been given by God. I want to draw a little distinction here, because what Daniel's getting is wisdom, not just knowledge, right? Knowledge versus wisdom. Knowledge would be grabbing a lot of things. Chris, you can throw up this next slide we have. All right, so think about it like Jeremiah here. We have all these Legos. Jeremiah likes Legos. I have them here. Knowledge would be just acquiring a whole bunch of Legos. That's great. You can get them all. You have them all. What are you going to do with them? That's where the wisdom piece comes in, right? Because you want to get from there to these cool-looking toys, right? Like these guys, right? These are fun. These are 3-in-1s. He's got a bunch of these. You got to get, here's another one. He likes dinosaurs, right? You want to get from that giant thing of Legos to that. Wisdom. It's what to do with the knowledge you have. Now, for Legos, we have instruction manuals, right? That's great. That sounds good. As Christians, so do we. We have Bibles. We have God. We have that kind of instruction manual. How to go from all the knowledge we get, all the information about what's going on in our lives, and then what to do with it. That's wisdom. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." Think about where you need wisdom, not just smarts and intelligence, but more of an understanding of what to do with that. One of the commentators named Wendy Witter, who I read for Daniel, describes Daniel's wisdom as doing the right thing for the right reason. Daniel does that. He honors a commitment, right? Daniel does the right thing by staying committed to God. He does it for the right reason. He didn't do it to be boastful and say, "I'm awesome." He didn't do it just to spite this guard from Babylonia and draw attention to himself. He does it to honor God. That's doing the right thing for the right reason. That might be a scenario you have. But also, what about a situation where maybe there's not that inherently morally or godly right or wrong thing to do? You get a new job opportunity. Do you take it or not take it? You get invited to something. Do you do it or not do it? This is where we need godly wisdom. We can take in all the information, all the knowledge, all the facts, but we got to make a decision. We have to figure out what to do. That's where God can provide us wisdom. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit from God to give us that nudge, that guidance, that push into what we should do. So God will help us with wisdom. We just have to depend on God for that wisdom. So that's the first part. Daniel depended on God for wisdom. We're going to read just the next two verses to get the second one. Daniel 1, verses 15 through 16. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. We'll stop there. All right, this is the big reveal, right? Your 10-day trial's up. Did it work? Did it do anything? And the answer is yes, it did. Daniel and his boys looked better than everybody else, right? This would be, it just doesn't make sense, right? Because if we're looking at people maybe today that come out of something and they look way better than they should, we're like, oh, that's a camera angle or a filter on that or some artificial enhancement. These guys didn't have that. They had a spiritual enhancement. They had God to help them look better and be healthier and be better. So the guard assigned to them is probably like, this is great. It's very possible he's able now to actually keep the food he was supposed to give to them. He can't send it back because the king's going to know what's up. So the guard's like, this is great for all of us. It worked. Daniel depended on God, and his health and his wellness was taken care of. This is one of those things that it shouldn't have worked like this, but it did. I polled a few people and asked for some things that shouldn't work but do, and we did this in food. Ryan responded that cold pizza with peanut butter is actually really good. That's the response I had. But apparently it works. Now, here's the problem is I'm not a big peanut butter guy, so I probably wouldn't do it. But he says that works. Julie said she's heard peanut butter on a burger. Brad, how is it?
It was fine. It was good.
Brad's a little like, I don't know if I'm going to say it totally works. But these are food, right? These shouldn't, if you look at them, they should not go together. But they might. But they work. Daniel should not have looked as good and been as healthy as he was on only the water and vegetables in comparison to the best food possible from the king's table. But it worked. Why? Because he depended on God, and God cared about his health. I want to talk about health just for a little bit today. And I want to over-spiritualize our health and wellness, but I do want us to see how God is actually a part of it. I don't think we should separate God from any parts of our lives, even if, you know, it's not this super huge thing. Because I do think God cares about our whole health and wellness. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Honor God with all parts of ourselves. All of us. And that also means God cares about all of us, our whole selves. So I'm going to talk about mental health and physical health just for a few minutes. Mental health, this can come in a variety of ways. This can be depression and anxiety. This could just be stress or frustration or anything that's just got you worried. Basically, when you're feeling your head is just kind of spinning, any of that. First way, let's involve God by praying about it. God, help me. God, take it away, right? We should absolutely start in prayer. But then I think we have to be open for how God wants to work. And this may not always be super direct, right? If I just say, God, take the stress away, it may not instantly go away. But that doesn't mean God's not doing something. Because God works in so many different avenues. I've been a Christian my whole life, in ministry for a number of years, a pastor for a few years. And what is still so super dope about God is that he works in different avenues all the time. And I keep seeing it. And I like that. He can always work in a different way. So don't assume because of the way you're expecting him to help you doesn't happen that he's not. I think oftentimes with stress and frustration, God might speak to you through another person, right? In the Bible, God speaks through people all the time. Now, a lot of times, there are prophets and things like that in the Bible. Now, you may not have a prophet speaking directly to you, but he might speak to you through a pastor. He might speak to you through a therapist or a counselor in a professional setting, through a friend, a coworker, your small groups. God does work in you through other people. He can. Now, we have to discern, hey, is this really from God or not? But he can absolutely work that way. God might also change your circumstances in a completely different way. If I'm stressed a lot about point A in my life, maybe God's going to do something over here in area B that helps. We just have to be willing to see it. Don't ignore mental health. Work on it, but bring God into it and look for him in a variety of ways. Let God help you. Physical health. We're going to talk about physical health goals more so today. And I don't think we talk about this a lot in the church, and that's okay, but I want to talk about it a little bit today. What a lot of times we'll do is if people are sick or hurt or have injuries or surgeries, we pray for them, and we absolutely should, right? And I fully understand there are illnesses that don't go away or injuries that are recurring or cause permanent effects, and those are super important. They matter, and I don't know why that stuff happens. I wish it didn't. I do believe that God cares about you and loves you and is there if you're going through that. But for today's purposes, we're going to put more of the focus in a little different direction on more like health goals. Think of it like this. What is God going to do with me if I want to build more muscle or get my weight under control or get better endurance or fix my nutrition or all this kind of stuff? And it's easy to separate this from God. Can we be like, well, God's not just going to do it. I have to do that. So I don't even need God with this. I think that's where the mistake comes in, is separating him from it. Now, we'll probably need to make changes in our lives to hit these types of goals. But don't exclude God and what he's taught from it. All right? Think about goals maybe you've had in this. And maybe you haven't hit them. Or they've been really hard. Or you failed. And we start to think, I failed. I didn't stick to it. I can't do it. Hold that for a minute. Think about in your life when you've made mistakes in terms of sin and things that don't honor God. And you think, man, I failed. I screwed up. What does God give? Forgiveness? And grace in that. When you feel like we failed at something in our own health or in a goal we've had, give yourself that kind of grace that God has given you in other areas, right? Try again. Get back up and keep going. We have this grace from God. So you're not a failure. God would say the same thing. You didn't fail. Just keep going. Work again. That's from God, right? That's a principle we have from God that we can use. God also gives discipline. We've talked about the start of the year when Julie talked about doing quiet times. She said, just start. Make it small. Just get into your Bible. Spend time with God just for a little bit and kind of build up that quiet time. That's discipline in spending time with God. God talks about spiritual disciplines in the Bible. Discipline is a thing. Just start and do a little bit at a time. God is a God of discipline. So we can use that also. Now, I'm not saying that your workouts, your activities, or your meal plans, whatever they are going to be these incredible, like, spiritual, bright light experiences. But I don't think we should exclude God and who he is from these areas of our lives. I don't think we should do that. God cares about our whole health and wellness because he cares about us. He cares about all of us. All right? I think God is predictable in the sense that he's always going to care about us. He's always going to be there. He's always going to love us. But he's not so methodical because he's going to do things in our lives in different ways all the time. We just have to be willing to let him into that and to look at it. So I'd say don't give up on your health. Don't give up on God because he's not going to give up on you. So health, wellness, your goals. Third one, let's look at the final piece. Daniel 1, 17 through 21. This is the end of the chapter. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding, but which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. That is the end of chapter 1. Daniel was dependent on God, and God came through with abilities and gifts and successes. He gave Daniel a win in the situation. Now, Daniel became smart and able to understand things. He was given this gift of interpretation. That's a huge deal if you read the rest of Daniel. Daniel being able to interpret dreams and things like that is a huge thing. And the king found favor with him, big-time favor, better than his magicians and enchanters and all these things. This level of success, this win that Daniel gets would be enough to arouse jealousy and contempt from others. But God gave him a win in the situation. He gave him these abilities and success. He helped him get there. We all have times when we just kind of need to feel like we get a win, right? We feel like something is going well, something goes our way. And that's totally a good thing to want. That's fine, something to be happy and proud of. Throughout the week, Ryan, Eugene, and I text each other about all kinds of stuff. Health and wellness is some of it, and just life in general. And at one point this week, Eugene texted us and said, "Get a small win today." That's what it said. Get a small win today. And for some reason, I read that. I was sitting outside, and it hit me. And I was like, yo, that's awesome. Like, I want that on my coffee cup so I remember that. Because just get a small win. It's just get yourself something to get yourself on the right track. That's something to be proud of. That's something to boost you up. And think about connecting those wins for us to God. How can we bring God in as a part of that, right? And it doesn't negate the effort we put in if we're saying, God, thank you for helping me there, being dependent on God to get us to that little win. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do. He'll establish your plans. God's plans lead to his type of win. When we commit to him, when we depend on him, he will get us there. Here's the thing. We can give God credit and still get those wins and be awesome at the same time, right? Being humbly awesome is a thing. I really believe that. Because we can give God credit and say, God, help me get to that win. But it's still awesome that you were able to do that. It's okay to feel that way. So how can God help you get to those wins? Your successes, see God in them. Ask God to help you get across that line that you need that. Don't separate him from it. So this week, like Eugene said in our text, get that small win today. Do it for you and see God as a part of it. As we wrap it up, I was thinking a lot about just depending on God. A lot of it just has to do with keeping God involved, keeping God in the loop, not separating God from any area of our life. Even if it's an area we think, well, that's not a place God would really impact my life too much. Don't separate God from any of those areas. When you need wisdom, talk to God. When it comes to your health, keep God and what he's about as part of it. Your wins, how did God help you get there? When you need one, ask God to help you get there for one. And remember that being independent isn't inherently bad, but as Christians, as children of God, as children of a Father who loves us unconditionally, we should focus our dependence in him. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning and this first chapter of Daniel, God, as we dive in just for a couple weeks with Daniel. I pray that you would continue to just teach us who Daniel was and what you meant in his life. And God, I thank you that you show us that he was dependent on you in all areas of his life. And God, I pray we would be that way, that we wouldn't separate you from any part of our lives, that we would at least have you in our minds and talking to you about it and making you involved. And God, I thank you that you do care about us completely. It's not just our spiritual selves. God, that you care about us that way, but in so many other ways, in all areas of our life, God. So I pray that we would remember to be dependent on you this week, that we would look for those wins. God, when we need wisdom, we would come to you. When we need health, God, we would bring you in. But mostly, God, that we would remember to be dependent on you. In your name, amen.